Good morning. The building does not smell like it did for part of the week, but some of you will be taking what caused that home with you today. Don't forget your chili. I wore my chili socks so I wouldn't forget. Well, this is probably the wrong time of year to think about this, but gardening, yard work, kind of like making a salad. There's lots of greens, there's a certain amount of chopping, and when you're done with both, you're never satisfied. But somehow, in all the years that Carol and I have owned homes and we've been forced to do yard work, I actually fell in love with a certain part of it, besides being done with it, is the what I call the grand miracle of spring, when everything comes back to life. You know, in the fall, I trim everything, I cut all the dead stuff off, and then it all comes back in the spring. Well, except for the plants that I actually killed. There's a certain amount of that. But I've discovered along the way that certain plants are quite fragile. Well, except for the weeds. I mean, they'll grow on concrete. But the seemingly, and maybe you've done this math too, but the ones that seem to cost so much are the ones that are most fragile. Too much water, too much sun, too little trimming, not enough trimming, and they die. There doesn't seem to be anything you can do about that. And as I thought about us as people, we're kind of like plants. We can be rather fragile too. We hear every day people die in car accidents. Some people fall down and they never get back up. Age ever leads us closer to the grave, and I know we don't like to think about that, but that's the reality. And the sickness, the surgery, or the COVID experience that we survived takes the next group of people out of this world. And it can happen to the young as well as to the elderly, simply because we're human and because we're fragile. When we go to the Gospel of John, we started reading the passage this morning that we're going to look at, where we're going to hang out this morning. We read the account of the death and raising up to life again of a man named Lazarus, a man who is fragile just like you and me. He got sick and he died. Now Lazarus, we're told in the text that Karen read for us, was a friend of Jesus. Now, before we actually get rolling this morning, I want to plant a thought in your minds. That was a pun. I don't want to minimize the miracle in any way, so please kind of stuff that off to the side. But what I want you to catch is the difference between resurrection and raising to new life. Lazarus was not resurrected. When he came back to life, he was still mortal and he would die again. Resurrection is unto eternity. Lazarus was raised up. Lazarus left the tomb in his burial clothes, but Jesus, when he left the tomb, left his clothes behind because he was resurrected to a new body. Didn't need the old clothes. And someday in the future, Lazarus and you and I, those of us who know Jesus as Savior, we will be resurrected. Leave behind all of those clothes that somehow are too tight because they've been in the closet or something. And we'll be perfectly garbed just as Jesus is. But what I need you to know this morning, and this is the key thing, is that Jesus possesses power over death as the author of life and light. And that, for you and me, is good news. Jesus has the power over death. Now, John chapter 11 is, at least at this level, is an interesting chapter. Now, as we read already this morning, the account begins with Lazarus' sickness. There's an account of him getting sick. The news gets to Jesus, and Jesus makes a decision. Now, I want to look at one verse that Karen read. It's verse 4, and these are Jesus' words. "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And then he continued where he was for a couple of more days until Lazarus died. Now, just at that point in the storyline, you and I ought to be going, I wonder what's going to go on here, because Jesus said this is not going to end in death, yet Lazarus died. Dying means death took place, and yet Jesus, who doesn't make mistakes, said what he said. Now, the disciples, like you and I sometimes, were a little slow in the uptake, and Jesus actually had to say to them, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. He's not sleeping. He's dead. And shortly after this conversation, Jesus and his disciples headed off to Bethany. And I'd like to read to you from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. It's an easy walk back and forth. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now, as we read this account, as we might suspect because of what happened to her brother, Martha was sad. Martha was grieving the loss, and Martha was upset. In verse 21, we read her words to Jesus, and I need you to know that Martha is probably standing eye to eye with this man, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I think she believed that Jesus could have prevented his death. And just person to person, she spoke to him and expressed her beef. Now, at the same time we note this, we need to note also that she had faith. She had a very solid faith. Verse 22, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Now, there's a question mark here. I'm not going to address it. I'm going to ask the question, and you can process this later. Maybe something over your chili at lunch today. She refers to God, but she's talking to God, we know, but it's Jesus to her. What's going on there? That's the question for your lunch conversation. But we are left wondering what she might have imagined as she says that God will give him whatever he asks. And then Jesus did what any good pastor would do. He spoke words of comfort to Martha. Lazarus will live again. And she knew that. She understands resurrection. There is life after death, as we understand. But Martha had a problem. She only knew resurrection as a theological construct. It was a theoretical possibility, a probability, a likelihood that she had held on to. She'd been taught that, and she held on to it, holding on to it likely for the future, as we do. And her comfort was in this hope for the future. Lazarus will live again. I will live again. We will be together again. And my friends, this is a good thing. It is biblical. It is comforting. But there is something else here that we need to see. Jesus has said to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We don't get an answer there. But Jesus, in these couple of verses, plays with physical versus spiritual life, physical versus spiritual death, and he sets her up for what's about to take place. Jesus was explaining that knowing about resurrection is not as important as knowing the author of resurrection. And the difference between the two is as large as the gap between sleeping in a garage and being a sports car. It's that big of a difference. Now, Martha fully understood that Lazarus had died. She wasn't lying to herself. She wasn't delusional, thinking that he had swooned and they had put him in a cold cave to revive him. She knew that he had died. And she was now grieving this loss, which is a natural response to a loss. And she was believing that later she would see Lazarus. Her mind was soothing her heart. Much the same way as we process some of our grief when we lose a loved one. Our mind affirms to us what we know about life and death and eternity, and it soothes our heart. But Jesus was about to show Martha the power of the presence of the resurrection. That is to say, Jesus was about to reveal what is possible to those who know him. Shortly after this conversation, Martha called Mary and explained to him that the master had arrived, and Mary ran to see him. Verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary had the same beef with Jesus that Martha did. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they said. And Jesus wept. That's a sermon right there, those two words. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" The crowd had the same beef with Jesus that Mary had with Jesus, that Martha had with Jesus, that sometimes you and I have with Jesus. Couldn't you have prevented this? The last time that Jesus had visited Lazarus and Martha and Mary in their home, Mary had sat at his feet, drinking in every word that he had said, while Martha was busy cooking and cleaning and serving. But this time, Martha had been the theologian. "I know he will rise again." But Mary simply wept with Jesus. Martha's relationship with Jesus was eye to eye. It was fact to fact. It was concern. It was disappointment. It was sadness. But Mary's response to Jesus was heart to heart. They wept together. They shared their pain. Jesus groaned in his spirit. Jesus was troubled over the circumstances, and Jesus wept at Lazarus's tomb. Now, the people were thinking that he wept because Lazarus had died and he loved him. Possibly. But I'm more inclined to think, because of the larger passage, that Jesus wept because of the souls around him that didn't get it, didn't get him, or their need for both. Jesus had said, "I am the resurrection." What you and I need to hear when we hear those words is that when Jesus comes into our life as our Savior, resurrection takes root in our daily life. We're not resurrected right away, but it takes root. And we can have the life he promised in our lives from that moment forward. But like a lot of plants in my yard and in your yard, it takes time for it to grow and mature and blossom. And too often, you and I treat daily life like I treat some of the plants in my yard. When there's no flowers, when there's no leaves, I rip them out of the ground and I throw them away. But sometimes we need to leave them there. Because some things need to die, they need to end before we can realize the good stuff that's in that or the next stuff that is in that. Like my daffodils. They reproduce in the dead season. I planted 12 bulbs. Next year I had 18. The following year I had 30. Then I had to divide them because they got too big for the bed. And it's that cycle of life and death. And you and I need to think about life and death in the cycle of life and death. And I think we need to hold on to this life a little more gently than we do, because a lot of us are clinging to this life as if this is the only thing we're going to get. Unlike Martha, we don't really get resurrection. But I have to tell you, as we read through the scriptures, we are affirmed over and over that this life that we call life is not all there is to life. And actually, what follows can be mind-blowing if we start to think about it. Just look at what happened when Jesus stepped into Lazarus' life, or when Jesus stepped into Lazarus' death. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone rolled across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, wanted us not to forget he was dead, "by this time there will have been a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days in a hot desert climate." I added that wasn't there. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Verse 41, so they rolled the stone away, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you've sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen, the cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Well, let's review. Lazarus was dead. He was very dead. He was 4 days dead. He was smelly dead. And yet he lived again. Jesus had said, "I am the resurrection. I am life. I am new life. I am the creator and restorer of life." Lazarus had been fully dead, wrapped in cloth and in burial spices. He had been sealed in a tomb, and life had returned to normal while his body was left to decay and become part of the earth again. And probably the family had gathered. They had told stories. They had laughed and cried. They had eaten sandwiches and potato salad after a very nice service. And then life went back to normal for them. And perhaps Mary had already cleaned out his room. Remember, Mary was a very conscientious person. She was no nonsense. And what was Lazarus going to do with that room? He's dead. He's gone. And sometimes you and I are sort of like dead people in certain ways. We just don't look like much. We don't feel like much. Others might have written us off. We might have actually given up on ourselves. But this morning, I want to tell you, don't. Lazarus was dead. He was stopped breathing dead. He was not going to work dead. He was not eating lunch dead. He was not eating dinner dead. But that was nothing for Jesus to overcome at a word. Lazarus walked again. He hugged his family and his friends again. And later we find him at a banquet with Jesus, and we actually find this dead man now alive again, the object of an assassination attempt. He was raised to new life, which apparently is a good thing. And even as Lazarus had been physically dead, so too you and I might be dead in different ways. Perhaps we're dead in our sins without a place guaranteed for us in heaven. We've been separated from God because of how we've chosen to live. All of us share that common reality as humans. Sin leaves every one of us spiritually dead, but Jesus tells us He is the resurrection. Some of us are dead in our plans. Life just got hard, maybe too hard to take the next step. Or it all fell apart. Whatever it was that we had been attempting and quitting seems to be the most logical thing to do. Jesus is the resurrection. Some of us were dead in our relationships. We messed them up, maybe beyond our ability to see that they ever could work again. We can't imagine together with that person. Jesus is the resurrection. Some of us are under the weight of daily life. It just feels too big to carry. Hope has died, and we're just slogging along. Even the doctor's happy pills aren't helping anymore. But Jesus is the resurrection. Some of us wouldn't mind lying down. Just throw the dirt on me. I'm done. We can't imagine it ever being good again. But Jesus is the resurrection. Now, you've known me for a while now, and you might get that I'm one of those happy early morning people that wakes up whistling, ready to face the day and the challenges. And I usually do that almost every single day. But I have to admit, and Carol will affirm, that there are a few days every year I get up and life just stinks. Cornflakes are soggy. Nothing's right. Maybe you can relate. But Jesus is the resurrection. This morning, you know who you are. You know where you are in life. And you know what you don't have or aren't experiencing in your life. I need you to know this morning that Jesus is the resurrection. That's what he said. I am the resurrection. And he called forth a man who had been 4 days dead in a cave in the desert, smelly dead, to life to prove he's good with his word. Not an empty boast. Lazarus didn't even smell like the cave. He had walked out of the family burial cave, walking and talking. Well, maybe shuffling. I don't know how they had them tied together. But Lazarus was on the other side of an encounter with the resurrection. Not the experience, but the person. He had a face-to-face encounter with the author of life. He had been raised again to life. And Jesus just did that with a word, Lazarus, come out. And I wonder in my mind, those three words roaring through the realm of death, calling one man forth. Does it give you goosebumps thinking that Jesus can do the same for you today? That same Jesus is still saying, I am the resurrection. But now, he's talking to you and to me. Resurrection is the big end of the game play. If we know Jesus, we get to be part of resurrection. If we know Jesus as Savior, if we're learning Jesus as Lord, we know. You turn to the end of the Bible, read the last page. We win because he wins. I know it doesn't feel that way today or yesterday or Thursday. But you and I, sometimes in the midst of everyday life, we get a taste of resurrection. Right here, right now on earth, on the other side of what we thought was the end, a death. A failure, a loss, kaput. But it all starts with Jesus. It always starts with Jesus. And with you and me looking to Jesus for new life, for repaired life. And I ask you this morning, are you in a situation where you could use some resurrection power in your life? Something new. Some kind of fresh start. My friends, here's the bottom line. It starts with Jesus. Say that with me. It starts with Jesus. I can't hear you.
It starts with Jesus.
It always starts with Jesus. And perhaps it starts with the question, is Jesus your Savior? Have you invited him into your life? Unlike Aunt Millie, who just shows up unexpected, Jesus waits for an invite. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be a simple word, help. It could be a head nodded toward him. Think of the thief on the cross. Nothing that he could do. And he just leaned toward Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll get resurrection power. You will be with me in paradise. It could be as simple as, I am undone, Lord. I give you my life. Or maybe the question that you need to ask is Jesus allowed to call the shots in your life? Or are you the boss? Oh, you're saved. You know that. But you're just not sure Jesus needs to be involved in everything that you have to make a decision. There's just a few simple words you might need to be using. Maybe admitting to Jesus, I'm a mess. I keep making wrong turns. Maybe you got the image of driving and you look back, okay, no more backseat, you take the wheel. It's as easy as that to answer that kind of question. Or maybe the question is Jesus your go-to when you stumble or fall, when you sin, when you mess it up, when you run out of knowing what, when you lose your way? Again, there's just a few simple words. Jesus, I'm stuck. Jesus, help me dump this habit. Jesus, I've sinned again. He never lashes out because his arms are ready to embrace us, to pull us in. Resurrection, new life, life again, a fresh start. It always starts with Jesus. It always starts with Jesus. It was Lazarus' experience. It could be our experience. For a moment, you pray. Talk to Jesus. Tell him where you are. Answer one of those questions. And after a moment, I'm going to pray for us. Go ahead and pray.